The Bible tells us, and we have looked at this prayer several times because it holds Advent in it. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. And you know, Christianity is not about just having peace with God. That's a part of it. And it gives us hope, but that peace gives us the ability to have joy. It gives us the ability not just to get out of trouble, but to get into Christ, to get into a life that is different because we have faith and we trust in him. And it gives us those three things. Now, one of the things that gives us joy is life. Our spiritual life and being born again should be the greatest source of joy we have. But physical life is a real shadow of that. And how many of you remember the day that your children were born? Well, we've got Sean and Jules here today, and they've got Maylee, and she was born, oh boy, I should have put that up there. 2 weeks ago, yeah, well, that's close enough. Let's see, I saw her step out for just a minute. Are they here right now? Oh, there you are. So did you take them to the nursery? Okay, all right. She's in that room, so you're not going to be able to see him. But Sean, stand up and we can take a look at you. And you'll see her next week because they will light our last Advent candle on love. But what I wanted you to take a look is at this picture. I want you to take a look at their faces. That's joy. That's the joy of hope. They've got that new baby, and they've got Maverick that they can look at, and they're already anticipating good things because if you've seen him, he's really happy. You're doing a good job with him. He's happy. When you see him, he smiles, and so their expectations for everything that's going to happen with Maylee is great, and they are at peace, grateful for what God has done, and that joy, it's a good feeling, isn't it? It's a good feeling. The Bible says, as you just heard, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, I'll just tell you, as parents, if you lose that joy, if you let your job, if you let the challenges of life, if you let circumstances, if you let things rob you of your joy, you will be a different parent. Right now, you come home and you see Maverick and you see Maylee, and you're grateful to God to have your family. But if you lose that joy, you won't speak to them the same. If you lose that joy, you might not even see them the same. Joy is very important to the Christian life. It is essential. Christ came to bring us not just peace, not just hope, but he came to bring us joy. And we live in the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. As a matter of fact, the joy of the Lord is what enables us to share the love of God with others. Sometimes I think the emphasis on the joy that we're supposed to have in Christ is not enough. And the reason is because just like Peter and the disciples, it's so easy for us when we're in the boat to look at the waves, to look at the circumstances of what's going on, and to forget that Jesus is in the boat with us, or forget that even though we can't see Jesus, he's in control of our lives, and he's coming over that water before we perish, and that we have the joy of knowing that God loves us and we are his children. We just got done singing Joy to the World. And a lot of times, especially with Christmas carols, we have sung them so much, we just sing them. And we don't stop and think about what they're really saying. But the words to joy in the world are things, it's the gospel. We start off and we say, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let that sink in for a minute. It's real easy in our Christian lives to forget that Jesus Christ came on this earth. Even though we weren't alive, he came on this earth knowing we would be. He came on this earth to die for the whole world, but that included me. It included you. As a matter of fact, you're in this room because at some point, even though you were spiritually dead and God seemed a million miles away, the Holy Spirit opened your eyes and you realized that God was not something we talk about. He was right here at that moment. And he was speaking to you. And he was calling you personally by name. And you were either going to push back and push him out of the way and wait till that feeling went away, or you were going to surrender everything to your Creator. He called you personally. He came into this world to have a relationship with you, to reconcile you to God, and to give you life in his family. Sometimes we lose our joy because we forget what an amazing thing it is that the Creator of the universe and every person who's alive today and every person that was ever alive knows you. He knows you. And he's not counting on somebody else, but he is waiting for your heart to listen and to look up and allow him to speak, and he speaks to you. And he's given you the freedom to respond. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. That's almost a scary verse. Because most of you sitting in this room, not all of you, but most of you struggled to decide whether or not you would let go of the world, let go of the things you desired, let go of control of your life, and actually surrender to God. Most of you had God knock on the door of your heart many times. And he kept after you because you resisted receiving the good news of new life. You wanted your old life, and it was hard to let go of because it's all we knew. And even in all of the struggles of life, there are some pretty amazing good things about it. So let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. That's something that we want to keep in our minds. It keeps the joy of salvation to realize that God came for us, that he came calling on us personally, that he knew that was going to be a struggle in our lives because we have a sin nature that would rather do what we want than to let go and not fear that God would not do what we want. And so God gave us time to prepare our hearts to surrender to him. That's a joyous thing. I am glad God did not call me once because I wasn't ready for it. But God loves us, and he's not going to violate our free will, but he's speaking. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Now, this is the joy that Christians should never forget. We should often think back and think about what our lives would be like if we never surrendered and let God give us the faith to step out and trust and walk with him. What would my life be like if I would not have let Christ come in and change the way I think, change the way I feel, change the way I speak, the things that I do? Where would my life be if I was still adrift, chasing the things of the world, and I didn't know the love or the goodness of God? He reigns in my heart. He reigns in my life. That's something that should give me joy, and it should evoke from me praise. I love that. It says, let men their songs employ. Now, we sang Joy to the World. We'll close with a little chorus of being able to thank God. But our lives really should be a song, even though we may not go around singing it. We're supposed to be filled with the Spirit, singing and making melody to the Lord in our what? That song should never stop. That joy should never subside. And we can't let it go. But where our minds are focused determines on whether or not we're grateful, and from that we're having joy produced in our life, or whether or not we start looking at things that God has not done and not given us, and all of a sudden start to have negative feelings that rob us of all the things that God wants. Let's sing with thanks to our salvation. We'll give you a chance to do that in just a moment. Luke 2:10 says this, the angel said to them, fear not. Well, there's a lot of reasons to fear in this world. There's a lot of things that I'm trying to do that I think are going to happen, but then there's something that happens and I might not get. There's all kinds of things to worry about. Some of them are really bad. Some of them never happen. Sometimes when things are going good, you're worried that it's going to fall apart. There's a lot of things to fear, and not knowing who God is and not knowing what he wants, and that's where we all are when he first calls us. When we haven't been listening to God at all, we don't know what he's going to say. And everyone is afraid of the unknown. He says, fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. When Christ came and died on the cross, he paid for all of our sins. We know it. And so we've received it. And we have experienced the benefit of it. There are many that Christ died for their sins who still don't understand what that's about. They have not received it. And the joy that's offered has not been experienced. But the joy comes from Christ. It comes from the person of Christ and our relationship with him. Today, it continues in verse 11, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. You know the problem with most people? They're not sure they really need a Savior yet. I might still could work it out. I might still be able to get what I need from this world. He's the Messiah, the Lord, or in Greek, the Christ. He is the anointed leader. He is the only way to find God. He is the only way to be led into a relationship with the Lord. We don't even know what it's like until we see it demonstrated in his life when he came to live as a man on this earth. And in Psalm 16:11, David, looking forward to the Messiah, he says this, you make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. That's the difference between us as Christians and the world, or who we were before. We see in Christ a different path. We see in Christ a heart that is surrendered and trusting in God and wants to please him and wants to live in a way that honors him. And that's different from how we felt before. And it fills us with joy to know that God is looking down on us and he's smiling. That God is assisting and helping us, that he's speaking to us and helping us mold our thoughts and perspective so that we know how to approach life and so it doesn't overcome us. But he's also looking all around in order to show himself strong on our behalf, because our hearts are completely his. And the pleasures that we trade for this world, our temptation is lowering and lowering and lowering, because we want the eternal pleasures. We don't want pleasure for a moment that ends in destroying all the things that we really want. And we can see that only God has the wisdom to know how we live. Romans 14:17 says this, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. Boy, I'll tell you what, when I was younger, I used to think that everything that was going to be great and everything I needed from God was something in this world. I needed him to get me in the right college. I needed him to help me achieve the things in sports I wanted. I needed him to be able to get me all of the things materially that I needed. I needed this, I needed this, I needed this. And I thought the kingdom of God was being someone who God could give these things to. But the kingdom of God is righteousness. It's being able to have the peace in my heart of not having regrets, because I know I have tried to do what God wants me to do. And even when I fall, if it's 7 times, he lifts me up and he loves me because my heart desires to please him. And so I am right in his eyes, even as he corrects me. I don't have to fear him. He's not like an employer who's demanding. He's like my Father, my heavenly Father. And it puts me at peace. And it gives me joy. And it comes from his presence, from the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said this. He said, I tell you, there is joy, rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. We, a lot of times, are looking for joy in all the wrong places. But when we really think about what God has done in our individual salvation, there is a never-ending source of joy bubbling up because we have been saved. We have been rescued. And if we forget that we have been rescued, we've forgotten everything. Heaven doesn't forget it. Heaven realizes that all the things that happen that are good in our lives will all fade away. But if a sinner turns from being separated from God to embracing God and joining the family, there is an enormous celebration. Jesus says this, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Now, joy is not necessarily the absence of suffering. It's the presence of God. We just had Eric Dittman come back from a mission trip and had a wonderful time and a lot of great experiences. But the most awesome thing that we saw as we sat together in a Thursday night group that's met for decades with him was that when he first came and gave his heart to Christ as a middle-aged man who had chased after all the things of the world and was so good at manipulating his finances that even though he had made some mistakes with them, he was still able to get everybody to whereas they couldn't see what was going on and manipulate the financial system to be able to keep going on credit until finally it all fell apart. And he sat with me and Panera Bread and gave his heart to Christ, and God changed everything in his life. And from that time, he started reaching out to his brother, who was a drug addict, who couldn't keep a job, who was an alcoholic, who he has spent, as he said Thursday night, a fortune on rehabs. And we would pray for him. We've prayed for him for, I don't know, how many? 11 years. 11 years. He would leave and travel up there and he would find him a place to stay. He would take him to a church. He would get him a Bible. He would help him get a job. He would get him in a rehab. Very quickly, all of that was worthless. He just could not stay off the drugs. He could not keep from undermining himself. And during that time, it was amazing to watch Eric just plod along. Every opportunity God gave him, he took it. And we would pray for him and pray for him and then get him in a place and he'd get out. All of those things discouraging. And it came to the point that I know even Eric told us that he had just lost faith that God was ever going to be able to get his brother in a good place. It was discouraging. And was he suffering? Yeah, he was suffering financially. He was suffering emotionally. He was suffering. There was all kinds of things. This is what the sufferings for Christ are. He was taking things on his shoulders over and over again with the hopes that God could use it to open his brother's eyes to the love and to the truth that Christ was trying to save him with. Well, this last one, I think probably when you set him up with this last one, you didn't really think it was going to take. But he got him into a church, and for somehow God finally broke through. And so he gave Eric a call, and he said, look, I want to go on a mission trip. I want you to go with me. And so they went on a mission trip to the homeless in Brooklyn. And Eric is up there, and many times he's done Bible studies with him, and he's always come out. And so Eric said, I'm not gonna push him this time. I know he's trying to follow the Lord. I'm gonna just read my Bible, and I'm not even gonna say anything about him reading his. And so he did his devotions. And those of you who know Eric know he does long devotions. Don't ask him to pray before you eat. And he said he did his devotion, and he got done, and he walked off, and his brother's still doing his. And a person that has a hard time interacting with people, he's going out, he's interacting. He's already told him, he said, I want to go on another one. Joy is not the absence of suffering. It's the presence of God that picks you up and says, just give it one more shot. Because you can't experience real joy if you quit. That's the problem with most Christians. We don't really believe that God can do the same miracle in our lives in someone else's. We get discouraged. We're not ready for the suffering, for the long haul, although we're grateful someone did it for us. And sometimes we lose that joy. And here's what David says. He says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. That's his salvation that he gave me. Restore to me that joy. Uphold me with a willing spirit. You know what happens when you lose your joy? You don't have a willing spirit. You're not willing to pick up and keep going. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold in me a willing spirit. And here's the words of Jesus. And it all comes back to what they were talking about. Will I listen to God and will I follow him? Will I trust him? Do I believe that he is leading me into salvation? If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. God didn't give us the commandments because he wants to keep us from stuff. He gave us the commandments because they benefit our lives. They enable us to walk along a path in which we don't destroy or subvert ourselves. We don't destroy relationships that later down the road we're going to wish we had. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We saw how to do that in Christ. Not out of duty, but out of love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you. That your joy may be full. You know, Christ died that we might be reconciled in a relationship with God, which means we communicate. He's God, we're not, so he's doing the leading. He's doing the parenting. He's our heavenly Father. But when a family starts to break apart, it's hard to have the same joy as when there's really good parenting involved. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Jesus says at the end of this parable, you have been faithful over a little and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. This is the hope we have. We know that God has us in a world right now that is broken by sin and full of people who refuse to follow him. But he has promised us that one day as his children, we will be in a world of people who want to honor, love, serve God, and love each other just like we do. Where sin will be removed. Where tears will be wiped away. Where hope will be realized. And we will enter into the full joy of our master. Here's what joy is. Jesus first, others second, and you last. That's a good, they call it an acronym, is that what it is? That's a good, like, one of those things to remember. Because that is what it's about. And God has called us to share our joy. We are to share the joy of salvation. We are to share the joy of our faith. We are to share the joy of a life in Christ. If you take the joy out of that, who wants to hear it? Who wants to live it? God has given us joy, and we're here to share that joy. And at the center of that is the forgiveness that we have received. It's not trying to hide and cover up our sin like Adam and Eve did, like we talked about last week. It's not turning on one another and throwing each other under the bus because we're trying to save ourselves, but it is realizing that we were guilty. God gave us life and we didn't love him back. We just took it for granted and ran away with it. We didn't honor him. We didn't thank him. We didn't live for him. But Christ died on a cross to give us forgiveness because he loved us so much. He wanted reconciliation. I've seen people in this room that had children on drugs that were so far away they had to tell them, you can't come back in the house. And they found Christ and are now reconciled. That's what joy is. That's what joy is. And sharing our joy begins with our story about Christ and his redemption in our lives, and we can't forget it and love other people. So how can I share my joy? How do I share my joy with people? Well, we do that through the fruits of the Spirit. When we have joy in Christ, it changes who we are. It changes how we think. It gives us gentleness. It gives us kindness. It gives us faithfulness. It gives us goodness. It gives us those things. It even gives us self-control. But when I look out and I realize what God has done for me and what he wants to do for the world, and that I am here to share the joy of salvation with people, then I realize that if I just... practically, we'll just take one of them. If I am kind, if my heart is really full of joy so that when I see someone else, I'm kind. I'm not thinking about myself. I'm thinking about them and what God could do in their lives. Now, I'm not the Holy Spirit. I can't do it, but I don't want to be an obstacle. I was walking into the Dollar Tree yesterday. And I was just walking up in there, and there was a lady who was coming up. She was behind me. And so, you know, I got a million things on my mind. I've got a lot of things that I'm trying to get done. But I noticed her right there. So I just opened up the door, and I said, go ahead. And she goes, oh, well, thank you very much. And so we walked in, and I went shopping and stuff like that. And then I get in line. And this lady in front of me, she turns around. She goes, well, you got everything ready for Christmas? And I'm like, do I know who this is? I mean, I didn't even recognize her, but it was the same lady. I didn't recognize that until a little later in the conversation. And at first I'm thinking, okay, I must know her from church, or I must know her. I don't know where I knew her from, but I knew her from someplace, right? Because nobody just talks to you like that friendly or whatever. And so we're sitting there in line, and it's a long line. We're probably 5 minutes with this conversation going, and I start to realize, that's the lady that I opened the door for. And it opened up an opportunity for a relationship that you never know what's going to come out of it. Now, with this lady, I may never see her again. I don't know. But her heart was different because of a little thing that was done that she wanted to communicate. There's so much power in that. We can't forget that our joy sets us free to think of others. And we don't know what little thing God is going to use. Now, I know this. I could have walked in and I could have thought, man, I don't have enough time for this. I've got to go over here. I got to do that. I got to do this stuff like this. And I could have walked right in there and just opened up the door. She was far enough away. I didn't have to feel like I wasn't a gentleman. And missed that opportunity. And so when we're looking at what God has done for us, we realize that he sheds that love abroad in our hearts to share with others. And don't overestimate the power of what one little act of kindness might open up if your eyes are open to continue the conversation. Here's what 1 Peter 1:8-9 says. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Isn't it interesting how all that stuff ties together? Let me tell you something. You're not going to experience the sanctification part of the salvation of your soul or being made like Christ through the crucible of this life if you lose your joy. If you lose your joy, it affects the way you even see the peace that you have with God. So choose peace. Choose peace. What I want you to do right now is just close your eyes. And I want you to just spend just a moment thinking back over what God has done for you. I want you to spend just a moment thinking back over where your life would be if it wasn't centered on Christ. Or I want you to start and think about where your life could be if it was centered on Christ, if when you bow your head and calm your heart, you're not sure. And just express to God the things that the Holy Spirit evokes in your heart. Father, to so many people, religion is just a game. Something to debate about. Something to talk about, but not really affect our lives. But not to us. To us, it is the life-saving rope that pulls us from darkness into light, from life to death, from death to life. It opens up a life that is just numb to the reality of who you are, that relies completely on the resources of our own or someone else, the hopes of this world. And it opens to us up to eternity. It ignites the eternity that's born in our hearts when we come alive, where we can see the meaning of all things is held in your eternal hands and our eternal destiny. That we were created to live with you, not apart from you. We know that in your presence, Lord, there are eternal pleasures and that there is joy in your presence. And we thank you that Christ died to unite us to you. We ask you to open our eyes to see that reality. Don't let us be deceived and seek after the world and let the true joy fade away, but help us to pursue knowing you and achieving your will, that one day we might hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's joy." So we surrender our hearts and our lives to you in trust, because Jesus Christ demonstrated your willingness to forgive. And the resurrection, it showed us that no matter where we've been or what we've done or what hole we've dug ourselves into, you have the power to overcome it. You are our God, and Jesus is our Savior. And we give our lives to you through him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.